Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 to 33, how to avoid the woes. Hypocrisy is a problem for many believers at various times, but it does not have to be. Our text for this session presents commitments, several commitments of integrity. First of all, be an example of righteousness to others. Verse 13, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor you allow those who are entering to go in, nor do you allow. They resisted God's righteousness, but instead attempted to establish a righteousness of their own. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And they taught others to do as they did, hindering those who sought God. And how do they do that? By self-righteousness and by legalism. They obscured the narrow gate. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So be an example of righteousness to others. Second, be a sincere minister to those in need. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. This verse is argued as not in early manuscripts, but it is in Mark chapter 12 and verse 40. Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive greater condemnation. They took advantage of those with little resources and then pretended to be spiritually mature. Be sincere to those in need. Third, be a witness to Christ for new believers. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Proselyte is a Gentile convert to Judaism. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. A son of hell is someone whose eternal destination is hell. They work to get others to follow and then cause them to be more sinful than they were themselves. Your call is to disciple new converts to follow Jesus Christ, not you. Follow him, not you. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Be a witness to Christ for new believers. Fourth, be a reliable person of your word. Verses 16 down to verse 22. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and all the things on it, and he who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. These were arbitrary rulings by the Pharisees, which had no basis in the scripture. It's kind of like people today saying, I swear on a stack of Bibles, or I swear on my mother's grave. The degrees of sincerity were identified by the value of the object sworn on. Lying was excused by making non-binding oaths. There was no basis for trust. It was excusing a failure to keep a commitment or promise. You know, it's like ministry tasks you accept in the church. Psalm 15, verse 1, verse 4 and verse 5. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Verse 4. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In verse 5, he who does these things shall never be moved. Be a reliable person of your word. And then 5th, be a promoter of love rather than legalism. Verse 23 and 24, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. They were giving detailed attention to count out every seed or part and then grudgingly give the tenth or the tithe. Why? They knew that not tithing or giving was a sin. You see, it hinders your church's ability to minister freely if you don't give. God has blessed all those in a particular church with the material things, the material wealth, the material goods to do the ministry. And if you're not giving, you're hindering the church's ministry. But tithing with a wrong heart is also a sin problem. Giving but not demonstrating Christ-like character qualities. Its adherence to the letter of the law while neglecting the spirit of the law. Listen, no sin is committed in a vacuum. Others are always affected. Jesus' illustration was that they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. The Pharisees strained beverages through fine cloth to make sure they didn't accidentally swallow a gnat. What was their motive? Well, concern for being ceremonially unclean. A gnat was the smallest unclean animal. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 23. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. And the camel was the largest unclean animal. What was Jesus' point? God wants you to respond to him with genuine love, not legalism. So be a promoter of love rather than legalism. 6th, be a consistent Christian with pure motives. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Inward versus outward. You must look in the mirror. Focusing on external matters was the heart of all their errors. Why would anyone drink from a cup clean on the outside, but still dirty inside. They would not. Jesus was using an extreme illustration to make the point. They lived life as if external appearance is more important than internal reality. And there lies the essence of their hypocrisy. Matthew 5:20. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16:12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Tombs were whitewashed to make them stand out. Why'd they do that? Well, it's because accidentally touching or stepping on a grave caused you to be ceremonially unclean. Numbers 19:16. Whoever in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword, or who has died, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. A freshly whitewashed tomb would be seen easily and would be clean looking, sometimes ornately painted. The inside still had the defilement of the dead bodies. Luke 11:44. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. So be consistent, be a consistent Christian with pure motives. And seventh, be a humble servant to those in opposition. Verse 29 down in verse 33. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. That was a ridiculous claim of self-righteousness when they already were plotting to murder Jesus after the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11. We're called to love those who oppose us. Very clearly, Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 5, he spoke about dealing with our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 down to verse 45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Be a humble servant to those in opposition. You give that some thought, and you have a great day.